Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 72 of Beyond Diet Podcast, the podcast that's going to give you accurate information so that you can get into the best shape ever. Hi, my name is Dan Rodriguez, and in this episode, I interview Dr. Ann Kultz. But this time, we talk about how to survive the holidays. But you know what? Before that, if you have any questions for the show, you can always email me at beyonddiet@gmail.com. Also, if you haven't done so, please go to iTunes and review and rate the show, as this helps us with the ranking with the show. So thank you so much and enjoy. Hey everyone, I'm here again with Dr. Ann Kultz, better known as Dr. Ann. How are you, Dr. Ann?
I'm just fantastic. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great. You know, there's the holidays. I mean, we just got done with Thanksgiving, which was a huge holiday in the U.S.
My favorite one.
Oh yeah, Christmas is coming, Hanukkah, you name it. I mean, we're just surrounded by all this holiday, all this food, the stress. You know, meeting with family that you love and hate at the same time. You know, you've got the shopping and all this stuff. I mean, how the heck do you survive? How do you survive and stay healthy during the holidays?
Thankfully, there are lots of wonderful strategies. And, you know, just like you were saying, let's face it, you know, many people use the traditional Thanksgiving feast as a kickoff.
Yeah.
To a holiday eating frenzy that lasts through New Year, tipping the scales more in the direction of overweight and obesity. The good news is the holiday 10 that is frequently touted is really a myth. Thank goodness, right? The good news is, the bad news, that's the good news, that the holiday 10 is really a myth.
So when you say the holiday 10, you mean the 10 pounds that people gain during the holidays?
That really is a myth.
Really?
The bad news is, what we see is, in reality, most Americans do gain around a pound. And unfortunately, the weight gained over the winter holiday isn't lost during the rest of the year. And that's significant because over time, this yearly pound creep can, you know, ultimately have a devastating effect on your health, because we know as little as 5 pounds of weight gain can be why someone develops prediabetes, diabetes, high blood pressure, metabolic syndrome. So, you know, it really is important to think about how vulnerable we are to weight gain, and the fact that if we do put it on, it's hard to get it off. And I always say it's so much easier to prevent weight gain than to get it off after the fact. And the other thing, as you mentioned about the holiday season, it is an extraordinarily stressful time for many people.
Yeah.
And that can really sort of compound the whole thing. So I look forward to sharing with your audience, you know, what I think are some simple things they can do. And, you know, I'm a real person. I have stresses just like everyone else. I work full time. I have 4 kids. I have to, you know, Santa has to shop for 4 kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all sorts of social obligations. And I manage to get through it. Sometimes I have my days. But I know that the strategies I'm going to share with your audience are things that really do help me in my own life. So,
yeah, well,
let's talk.
Get started. So, okay. I mean, before we get with the tips, so what you're saying is the holiday weight gain. So typically what happens, we gain weight and then it just stays on. So it's not 10 pounds, but it's that 1 pound, but we don't lose it, right? So basically.
That's exactly right.
So if you do that 1 year, that's maybe okay, but 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you're 5 pounds heavier. 10 years, you're 10 pounds heavier.
That's exactly right.
It's crazy.
That's exactly right. So, you know, one of the first things is, you know, should be so intuitive. I always say so much the battle with body weight is learning the foods that make you hungrier and getting them out of your life. Right?
Yeah.
And so that particular category of foods, I call the great white hazard. So those are those refined high glycemic carbs, specifically white flour products. So that you have to think about that. Boy, there are a lot of things on that holiday table and the holiday hors d'oeuvre, you know, table that have white flour. So white flour products.
Yeah, you might as well not eat. I mean, that's just
not really. So we'll give some alternatives. White flour products, white rice, white potatoes, sugar, and sweets. So, you know, those are, we know categorically, especially sugary beverages, the most appetite promoting of all foods. So here is what I would suggest. Choose whole grains and beans as an alternative to the starchy white stuff, because whole grains and beans are super healthy and provide long-lasting appetite suppression. So how about bean salad instead of potato salad, brown rice over white rice, whole grain breads and crackers over, you know, the standard white ones, sweet potatoes instead of white potatoes. And, you know, just say no. This is something I do across the board. I don't eat bread. I really don't even eat whole grain bread because I know that, boy, what a simple thing to do to help you with lifelong weight control is just to not do anything flour-based. That means forget the rolls, forget the biscuits. They're not even an option in my life. I never, ever, ever consider in any meal having the biscuits and the rolls. So that's important. The next thing is somewhat related to what we've talked about, and that is to be very careful with liquid calories, especially sugary beverages. And one thing we know is that liquid calories simply do not suppress the human appetite to the same degree as solid food calories. In other words, if you drink 200 calories of a liquid, you are more, let's say it this way, if you eat 200 solid food calories, you are definitely going to be less hungry thereafter versus if you drank 200 calories. We see this, we can do this in the test. And especially in terms of sugary beverages. And the problem with sugary beverages is really threefold. One is all of the calories in sugary beverages are from sugar. And these are rapidly absorbable sugars that we know through a host of different ways can, you know, prime your appetite. So you need to think of them as an appetite stimulant. How stupid is that? I always say stupid with a capital T, to willfully take in something that is a known appetite stimulant, right? And so the other thing about liquid sugar calories is that you can take in so much without knowing it. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like mindless when you're drinking, you know, you just sort of have that cup in your hand and next thing you know, you pretty much always have one in your hand if you're at a party. And it's such an easy sort of, easy, but you're sort of unaware of it way to take in calories. So make water or unsweetened tea your beverage of choice. And then when you choose to have a drink, as in an alcoholic beverage, which, you know, certainly tis the season, and drinking in moderation can certainly fit into healthy living and certainly can fit into weight control. But when you choose to have a drink, make wine, light or low carb beer, or spirits with a non-caloric mixer your first choice. And, you know, for goodness sakes, stay away from, you know, the sugary, like, you know, eggnog and the other sort of sweet dessert drinks. Oh, they have so many calories. And the other thing about alcohol, and another, you know, reason to do it in moderation is it lowers our self-control. It disinhibits us. And frequently the situations that people are in where alcohol is being served in a holiday setting, usually there's food everywhere and high-risk food. And so, you know, you're more apt to engage in, you know, dietary indiscretion. Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, you wake up, you don't feel good. You're not going to exercise because you feel tired because you're hungover. And there's so many compelling reasons to, not, you know, overdo the,
you were talking about wine, sticking with wines. And then you were saying with, spirits, with maybe low calorie, mixer in it. Give us an example. Yeah.
What about having, you know, scotch and soda, or, you know, vodka and soda, or vodka and, you know, maybe some diet tonic, or, you know, I actually like, you know, personally bourbon on the rocks. with a teeny, maybe a teeny bit of cherry juice in it, is you know, one of my favorite sort of winter alcohol, spirit-based beverages. You know, the point is, you know, to watch the caloric mixers, especially the ones that have a lot of sugar, and watch the cream and the eggnog and those things that are just loaded, you know, Kahlua, you know, Kahlua and cream, those kind of those dessert kind of, you know, after dinner kind of drinks. They're just loaded with calories from fat and sugar a lot of times.
And they can just sneak up on you. That's the thing. It's so easy to consume.
Absolutely.
And before you know it, you've
taken in a lot of calories. Yes. No question about it. So that's an important one. The next one is fill your tummy up first. When you get to a holiday party, you know, think about filling your tummy up first with foods that have lots of bulk, but minimal calories, because physical bulk, believe it or not, the human body, first and foremost, wants a certain volume of food. Volume actually trumps calories in the realm of appetite suppression and appetite control. This is a really, really important thing for people to know. In other words, your body wants a certain volume of food over the course of the day, and it wants to satisfy that. That's its first and foremost sort of priority. And yes, it does want, you know, a certain amount of calories, but the volume actually trumps calories. So what you can do is, if you know this, the name of the game is striving to take in foods that have a lot of volume or a lot of bulk, yet that are low in calories. And there are only a couple of things that can contribute bulk without contributing calories, and they are fiber and water. So what are the foods that give you the most fiber and water? Well, it's what I call the big yet skinny fruits and veggies. So, for example, when you get to, and I do this, when you get to a holiday cocktail party, for example, a holiday party, go straight to the fruit and veggie platter, because usually they do have fruits and veggies there, and really indulge. I mean, sometimes I even tell people, don't think I'm an idiot. I know what I'm doing. I'm an expert in appetite control, and I, you know, want to stay looking like I look. You know, I'm 5'6". I weigh 117 pounds. And frankly, I have to look like that to do what I do. And, I just kind of pig out for a little bit right there at the fruit and veggie platter. Now, something to be cautious of at the fruit, especially the veggie platter, use high fat oil-based dips sparingly. In other words, they may have ranch, they may have hummus. Hummus is going to be the better choice, or they may have some mustard there, you know, so you could dip your carrots in the mustard, dip your carrots in the hummus, versus dipping them into the higher fat, higher calorie kind of dips like ranch.
But ranch is so good, Dr. Ann. It's so
good. Not to me. Ugh, yuck. Learn to hate ranch. Learn to love a good olive oil based vinaigrette. Ranch is nasty.
That's good. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Hummus is good. Thinking about this whole strategy of exploiting these bulky foods. Another thing you can do is if it's a holiday meal, is strive to first put fruits and vegetables and beans on your plate before you put anything else on there. And what I like to do is try to fill 2/3 of my plate up first with fruits, veggies, and bean-based dishes. And then that way, you know, you kind of crowd out. There's not space to add the high-risk stuff. Another great little strategy that kind of relates to hunger control is don't go to the party hungry. Don't go to the gathering starving. You're just kind of, you know, asking for more of a challenge.
So are you saying to eat before going to a party?
A strategic snack. And I'll tell you about this. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I know I'm going to eat a lot, so I'm like not going to eat. I was talking to some of my family members before our Thanksgiving meal, which we had at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And they said, oh, you know, I didn't eat breakfast. I didn't eat anything because I know I'm going to eat a lot. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so stupid. Because what happens is when you go for long periods of time without eating, you're pretty much guaranteeing that your brain is going to be subjected to low blood glucose. Well, we now know, I just talked about this in my recent e-newsletter, we now know when blood glucose levels drop, the brain is inordinately sensitive because it's 100% dependent on glucose for its fuel. And it is so hardwired into that brain to be ultra sensitive to glucose being low. And what the researchers were able to show is when glucose levels drop significantly, it actually, there's signals that are then sent from the pleasure centers of the brain that can totally, totally make us lose control of our eating and do things like, you know, promote binging and, you know, almost kind of addictive type eating. So the take home message with this study was something that I was familiar with. It was nice. I mean, they were doing MRIs and measuring and manipulating blood glucose levels and measuring activity in the brain. And they really saw it on the scans. So, you know, you want to do everything you can to keep your blood glucose level maintained. And that's probably, you know, appetite control is a holy grail for weight control. And so you could then extrapolate and say, wow, blood glucose control is therein the holy grail for weight control. So the point of all this is have a strategic snack about an hour before you arrive at a holiday gathering. And my top picks would be something that's going to definitely give you a nice kick of protein and maybe with it some fiber, because the protein, you know, kind of has a little bit more of a longer lasting, a little bit more of a potent appetite suppressive effect. So a handful of nuts, along with, say, a piece of fruit like an apple or some raw veggies dipped in hummus. So in the hummus, you got a nice kick of protein. And the veggies, you get some bulk, but yet not much calories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so those would be, probably my top rated strategic snacks. And you're doing this to kind of put you more in control of your appetite. So you're not ravenous when you're there and ravenous in front of so many high-risk foods. I mean, that's the other double whammy. You know, if you let your blood glucose level drop to that point, you're already primed to engage in high-risk eating. And boy, when the food is there, all that high-risk food, I mean, you're just, it's almost like, you know, we're only human. It's like possible to control, you know, to control that. So that is a really, really important, tip. And I think one where a lot of people, go the other way and they think, oh, I'm going to be eating a lot. So I'm not going to eat anything for the 5 hours before. That is dumb. Don't do that.
Especially for Thanksgiving. I mean, that's kind of typically the traditional one. I'm not going to eat, so you don't eat breakfast, you don't eat lunch. I'm like, no, I'm going to have a huge, I plan to just devour, you know, Thanksgiving.
Now, don't do that. And don't do it. I'm telling you, just it's a big mistake. Have your breakfast like you normally would and give yourself a strategic, you know, snack with a nice kick of protein about an hour before you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really important. And then let's talk a little bit about exercise. Because the great thing about exercise is it has all these wonderful, benefits, especially at the stressful time and the high-risk time of, you know, holiday gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, it's a fantastic safeguard against weight gain. And it can really go a long way toward helping us compensate for, you know, overindulgences that are going to happen. I mean, even me, I know I ate more on Thanksgiving Day and at that meal than I normally eat in a meal. I mean, it's just what we do. But I exercise every day, but I ran an hour before that morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing we always do, and this is going to be one of the specific things, so I'll just say it right now, is we always take a long walk with family and friends, and we're blessed to have Thanksgiving in an absolutely spectacular natural setting, which is like, you know, an ecological wonderland.
It's an area around
my hometown of Charleston, South Carolina, that's just exquisitely beautiful. It's a natural setting. It's in the country. And we always take about an hour walk, sometimes longer, after that meal. And I cannot stress how valuable that is for a number of reasons. First of all, you know, and everyone knows what I'm talking about. You know, when you overeat at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, it does make you feel like crap.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you feel horrible.
You want to lay down.
And you feel horrible. And what's happening is you have all this insulin suddenly being dumped into your system. And it's a toxic level of insulin. And, you know, it's why people can get headaches and feel really tired and, you know, the stomach hurts. People know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So if you immediately after eating your meal, even though you may not feel like it, if you can just get up and make yourself walk, what that's going to do is when you use your muscles in any activity, especially like walking, and the more muscles you're engaging, the more effective, those muscles are highly effective. It's sucking that insulin out of your bloodstream. Kind of, they have massive receptors, muscle cells, for glucose and insulin. And when you're using them, they're just sucking it out of the bloodstream, which is why you're feeling so bad. And you will not believe how much better you'll feel when you'll get back. Plus, you know, in that hour walk, chances are you're going to burn, you know, 300 calories, maybe a little bit more. So, and that can go a long way toward, you know, compensating for extra calories that you, because we're all human and because it is a time of celebration, it is a time that I allow myself to have some of 5 desserts. I mean, literally, not a whole piece of 5, but I have some of everyone.
Little sampling of everything. Huh?
I do. I mean, that's crazy. It's what we do. Other things, thinking about the holiday season to kind of make you do your physical activity, you could sign up for a holiday road race, right? If you sign up in advance and pay in advance, you feel more obligated to do it. And chances are you'll be doing some running or walking prior to it. So you'll at least be in shape. You can schedule a regular workout with a trainer if that's something that fits into your budget. Again, when we know that there's something scheduled, it's something that you've already committed to paying for or perhaps already paid for, you're more apt to adhere to it. Recruiting a holiday walking buddy, you know, why not, you know, call a close friend or a family member and say, hey, you know, the holiday season is here. You know, we're stressed. We're prone to be, you know, taking too many calories. What a great way to mitigate stress, incredible way to mitigate stress and also sort of compensate for eating too much. And that's the other thing I love to say about the exercise is, you know, it not only helps compensate for extra calories, but it's such a fantastic, there's nothing better. There's not a drug. Yes. There's not a drug on the planet that can do what exercise can do in terms of relieving our stress and anxiety, immediately giving us an uplifting sense of, you know, uplifting our mood, a boost in our sort of happiness and our cheerfulness. And then think about ways, it doesn't have to be formal exercise. It could be what we call, you know, lifestyle physical activity, meaning movement as part of everyday life. Well, it's not uncommon that at holiday times, you're going to have family members or guests coming into your home. What a great opportunity. Clean the baseboards, mop your floors, you know, blow the leaves off your driveway, all those, you know, chores and all the house cleaning that burns an incredible number of calories, especially if you do it like I do it. You know, I do all my floors by hand. I get on your hands and knees and I get the bucket and the rag and just kind of going at it. So house cleaning and even shoveling snow will count as exercise too. So,
I mean, what if you're a person that's extremely busy? I mean, what are some of the minimum things that you can do that's quick and not that difficult when it comes to exercise? Because obviously it's really important.
Yeah. You know, I would say, you know, walking. I mean, walking is free. It's easy to do. We're made to do it. And even if you can do 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon, or incorporate walking into your shopping. I mean, you know, instead of, can you walk to the main street where the stores are instead of taking the car at the mall? You can walk around, you know, park way, way away from the front doors. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, people can figure this out. I mean, I always say there's no excuse. Exercise gives you time. You know, and we know it does because of the added efficiency you get because what it does to your brain, you're going to think better. I mean, just there's so many compelling reasons. So not having time is the lamest excuse in the world for, you know, exercise. I mean, it's just all, and you can stand in a room in your house and do jumping jacks if that's all you can do. 5 minutes of vigorous exercise is awesome and can do great things for you. If that's all you can do, well, you know, stand in place and do some jumping jacks for a few minutes. You'll get your heart rate way up. But I think most people could figure out a way to work walking into their day. So,
but honestly, I mean, a good 30 minutes is really kind of like the minimal if you really want to get into 30 minutes.
Yeah. You need to do that. I mean, you can't maintain your health, much less your weight, unless you commit to at least 30 minutes of moderate or more physical activity each and every day. So, you know, everyone just needs to know that. So if you're not doing that, just, you know, and you're wondering why the scale is going the other direction, there's, you know, one of your answers for sure, because you are not going to control your weight unless you accumulate at least 30 minutes of moderate physical activity. And that's moderate is enough to get your heart rate up, but not enough to cause any pain.
Right.
So it's not difficult to do. And again, lifestyle activity counts. You know, if you're sweeping your floors, vacuuming your floors, cleaning your tubs, you know, walking from, you know, your front door to, I don't know, maybe your work environment is near where you can walk, you know. So again, it doesn't have to be formal exercise like in the gym or, oh, I'm going to go exercise now. It can be, again, movement that is a part of your day.
Now, you said you ran on Thanksgiving Day. Now, that's a trooper. That's commitment right there.
I exercise every day. Yeah. So for me, I mean, that's not any great feat because
it's Thanksgiving though, Dr. Ann. That's the thing.
Oh, no. I loved it. In fact, you know how many of us ran? I'm from a huge family and we are all athletic and fit and it was hysterical. We have a big place out in the country and it's 1,000 acres and there's several homes there. And I'm trying to think who I ran with. I may have run even by myself. I think I ran with by myself. And then I look up and there's another group. There are about four or five. You know, some of my kids were in that group. And then all of a sudden crossing, because there are all these different paths. And there's another group. and this one had some nephews in it and nieces. And
That's so nice. So it's like it became like a family thing.
Oh, literally. Yeah. And every one of my children ran. Every one of them. I have four kids. They all ran. They're all runners.
Did you race? Did you compete?
No, we didn't compete. We've thought about having a family road race because, I mean, my mother is a runner. She's 76 and my sisters all run. And I mean, all of them. I have four sisters. One brother that runs, but one that doesn't. And then my children all run. My husband rides his bike and walks. And so we were extremely active.
That's great. Yeah.
And then we took that long walk. Not everyone, but many people took that long walk. We walked for at least an hour. Again, it does help that we have a spectacular, beautiful setting to do it in.
So do you feel that having the family involved makes it more fun and makes it more enticing to have, you know, your kids and your spouse involved?
There's no question about it. And so that would, I guess, would be another tip is to make it a family, you know, make it a family thing, you know, take a family walk, take a family jog, and, you know, and do it with other. I mean, it adds tremendously to the, you know, to the day. It's just a nice thing to do. And that's what Thanksgiving, I think, and even Christmas is all, you know, family is a big part of that and being with your loved ones. So.
And any other tips?
Sure. I'll give you some great ones. Let's see. Another one that I really like, two more, is avoid mindless eating. And this is a real important thing. You know, approach every meal, every snack, and every party mindfully. One thing that we now know is so much of our eating is driven not by the fact that we are really hungry, but more so prompted by external environmental cues that just because they're there, we eat. And it may be that because food is in front of you, and because food is in front of you, you eat it, not necessarily because you're hungry.
But that's
it could be smells. So again, the point is you need to be mindful and sort of say to yourself, you know, I know the reality is that there are all sorts of, you know, subversive, you know, sort of hidden environmental cues that compel me to eat or want to eat, and I'm not going to become victim to them. And so it relates to being mindful, and even being mindful, we can get tripped up by them. But let me just give you some specifics. So don't linger, for example, over the buffet table or hover over the hors d'oeuvres, you know, nibbling as you engage in conversation. So whatever you're going to eat, mm-hmm. at any party, at any gathering, at any holiday meal, make sure you put it, pre-plate it, and sit down, even if it means sitting down, you know, in a chair, there may not be a table around, and eating, you know, putting the plate on your lap and eating from there. But pre-plate anything before you eat it. Don't eat directly off of a tray off of a plate. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Because what we know is we tend to eat less if we can view it all before we start. It just gives you, it gives a visual perspective. And what we think it does is it adds to the memory of eating. And does that make sense? And the other thing is, it gives you visual perspective. If you can here you put the food on a plate, you have that plate, you've looked at that plate, you sit down and you eat from the plate. So it gives you visual perspective that as you eat, you see food disappearing. And so it sort of subconsciously cues you, eating is progressing, the food is getting less, and it's going to be gone, and so it's going to be time for me to stop. Versus if you're just like standing over the Swedish meatball, you know, chafing dish, which so many people do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that chafing dish is like the, you know, the bottomless pit, man. It just, they those things are always in there. And it's like, oh, there's another one. Versus if you had put three on a plate, chances are that would satisfy you. But if you're standing over them, I mean, you can take in 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Easily. Yeah.
So that's an important one. And then the last one is to get your beauty rest. So there's so much compelling science has come out over the last decade, especially over the last 5 years, looking at the importance of sleep in terms of weight control and appetite control. And what we know is that sleep deprivation, you know, not getting enough sleep or not getting good quality sleep, enhances the hormones that stimulate appetite, and at the same time sort of dampens the hormones that blunt appetite. So it's like this double whammy, and we can measure this. They can take people, put them in a lab, subject them to forced sleep deprivation, monitor their hunger, measure their appetite control hormones, and they see this happening. And so that's a disaster. So with sleep deprivation, the next day you are more likely to snack, you're more likely to crave high-risk foods, salty foods, fatty foods, sugary foods. I mean, they see this when they do these studies. And they relate it back to the fact that your appetite hormones get out of whack, and they go in the wrong direction. The other thing is it can very quickly make your insulin not work well. And that's a disaster, because when your insulin doesn't work well, your metabolic rate, your ability to kind of burn fat drops. And then the other thing is it makes you feel like crap. It makes you tired. You don't have as much self-control. You're much less likely to want to exercise. So, you know, make sure you get your sleep. Really important. And ideally, you should strive to have 7 to 8 hours of quality sleep a night.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's something that people, most Americans just kind of don't really think about, because it's almost like it's unproductive. Like in the back of your mind, you're thinking,
well,
oh,
let me tell you, people need to totally change their attitude about that. And you're right, Jane, that's a good point. I read a blog recently. It was a beautiful blog. And it was talking about the fact that, you know, in America, where, you know, we, you know, there's such incredible value placed on, you know, achievement and overachievement and getting so much stuff done. And, you know, we're also, we all have so much stuff to do now. I mean, we work a lot, and then we have all these distractions from all this technology and these emails to answer and texts to answer and just on and on and on. And we are, the studies are showing this. Americans are, including children, are sleeping less than ever before. We're at an all-time low in how much we're sleeping. And there is a definite relationship between not sleeping enough and body weight, not sleeping enough in diabetes, not sleeping enough, we think, in certain cancers, heart disease, mental health. I mean, it affects your mood profoundly. You don't want to exercise. I mean, it's just a horrible. So we need to place so much more value. You need to cherish your sleep. It needs to be absolutely sacred. And don't let anyone take it away from you. Make it a priority in your life. I cannot stress how important I think sleep is for overall quality of life. It's just, I could go on and on about it. And people are not getting enough.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, if it affects that many facets or area of your life, I mean, it's essentially, this is something that you have to
exactly
and make don't a commitment
feel
guilt- to
and
to
don't
do.
Feel guilty about it. You know, that's what I think happens with people.
Yeah.
Is they feel, you know, this obligation. They feel like they're a loser if, you know, they sleep more than 5 hours a night because they have so much work to do. Well, you know, that's ridiculous. And they're fooling themselves. If they got the 7 to 8 hours of sleep, they could get probably twice the amount of work done
and be more productive
half
when you're
the time.
Yeah.
And I could just go on and on. It makes people cranky. It makes them irritable. And that's not fair for the people that have to live around you. It's horrible for your health. And again, I know there are times that people can't help it. It sometimes happens to me and I hate it, but you know, I absolutely cherish my sleep. It's a priority for me, like my exercise is. I mean, I have things that people are not taking away from me, and that's just the simple fact of the matter. And I'm going to build it into my life, and that's just that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, I like that. I mean, I like the whole premise of that it's yours, and no one's going to take it from you. And that's
absolutely
such as health. I mean, health is yours for the taking. I mean, mm-hmm. you know. It's yours. No one can take it away from you. I mean, you can manage it. You can achieve right. it.
Very empowering. Yeah, yeah. You can, you know, be yourself, only better. And yes. You have enormous control. I mean, I've said that probably in our past podcast together. And that's one of the things that people don't understand and recognize is profound control they have over their health destiny. Mm-hmm. You want to feel great? I'm telling you can do it. And it takes learning what to do and it takes doing it. But boy, most of it's simple as pie. I mean, I can't tell you the people that come up to me. I was at a huge conference just yesterday with, you know, probably some of the biggest and brightest, Walter Isaacson, you know, who's the author of, Steve Jobs books and, you know, a best-selling author of many biographies and a very famous guy. He was the speaker, and we had 900 sort of movers and shakers in this room for a big summit related to moving my state of South Carolina forward in the right direction. And I am the chair of the health forum of the summit.
Oh, wow.
And last year they had given out my Eat Right for Life book. It's just a free gift for everyone that came to the summit. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you the number of people that came up to me and you know, several of them admitted, said, listen, I'm not the type to, you know, like be like into health or, but you know, and your book is so easy to read and so engaging. And I read it and, you know, just by stopping the great white hazards, I've lost 30 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, I had a number of people come up to me and say, I just want you to know, as a result of your book, I've lost 25 pounds, I've lost 30 pounds, I've lost 20 pounds. And it was so easy, and it's just changed my life, and it's just how I live, and it's what I do, and it's my Bible. And it's so simple, some of this stuff.
Right.
It's just people don't know it.
And the thing is, we've got a tendency to overcomplicate things too, just because society tends to be a little bit more complicated, and we get inundated with so many things. It's like you're thinking in your mind, you know, it can't be that easy. You know, it's got to be harder. I got to take a pill or something.
And guess what? It's pretty straightforward. And that's what I'm most known for is my knack to kind of simplify what people perceive as complex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the greatest strength of that I hear from my books is, gosh, Annie, you just make it so easy and straightforward. I said, well, because the reality is it is. And if you just get straight to the point and you leave that fluff out and you just tell them what to do and why in a way that they can understand, it's like, I get it. I get this. So. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I think that really that ends the show at a really good note. So we'll just end it right here.
And make sure people know how to get to my website because I have all sorts of free resources. Tons. You could spend days at my website educating yourself. Literally days.
Yeah.
Because of all the free resources. And I have several books. I would love it if you could include that my E-Ride for Life book just got got the gold National Health Information Award. It's,
oh wow.
You know, we were competing with thousands of entries and from the most esteemed health and wellness related groups, the Mayo Clinic, the CDC, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and my book got the highest award that they give, which is gold award. So
that's awesome.
The Cookbook Companion, probably that's come out probably since we've talked.
Yes.
And it's the companion to the Eat Right for Life book. And
yep, I've got both books. I've got also
The 10-Step Diet. Thank you.
No, it's fantastic. And why don't you give your website? Because your website, like you said, it's
so
just
it's www.drannwellness.com. And the simplest way, you could just put Dr. Ann, DrAnn into Google search, and I should be the first thing that pops up, and it's Dr. Ann Wellness. You know, you can't miss it.
Yeah, and then
visit me.
Yeah,
and I have a great free e-newsletter. Yep. It's the most popular free resource I have, and people love it. I have people write me every day thanking me for my newsletter, and I put a lot of work and love into that, and it's free. So
yeah, no, check it out, you guys, because it's really, really worth just going to it. Look, if you want to get started, if you don't know where to start, just go to her website, and you'll see all the stuff that she has. She's got videos, she's got articles, she's got obviously the books, she's got CDs and all that stuff. But again, first thing that I would do, subscribe to the newsletter, because the newsletter every month you'll get tips, you'll get scientific
the latest science, yes. And let me tell you this, I'm going to rewrite December's tomorrow, and there's just so many cool things that I'm going to include in there. So from some new studies. So,
well, great. Well,
thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, I'll join you again sometime. You just give me a buzz.
Yeah. Take care and happy holidays. Take care.
You too. All right. Take care. Bye.